Poncho Sanchez, master percussionist, band leader, composer, conguero, with Next Exit. And this is from his 2001 album, Latin Spirits. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrecht Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, Free Your Mind Friday is an open forum. We dispense with our regular format and instead hand over the program to you, where you can take the conversation where you want it to go. You should have a strong opinion about something. It's not just to yammer, but to make a point about something. And we'll see where it goes. People may react. People may not, but it is important to develop the skill. And I want to make this point because it happened yesterday and I wasn't able to make the point. This program is not just about getting on the air and talking. It is also about learning how to use the medium, because I consider everybody a potential communicator. You may be able to help disseminate information, but you have to learn how to use the medium. And efficiency is the number one thing. You want to be able to make your point in a short space of time, as short as possible, and as power-packed as possible. You can't go on. You only have an hour. And in fact, today we started late. So we have less than an hour, but we ought to be able to improve our communication skills, not just for this program, but for anywhere. You may be able to call in at another program and you'd find yourself very capable of getting your point across as well. So it is a learning process. So don't just think of it as, you know, expressing your view. It is also about learning. And I'm monitoring to see whether you're learning and applying what you learn to the fine art of communicating. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's hear what's on your mind today. Duke from New Jersey.
Hey, Utrecht.
You're on.
How you doing?
I'm not hearing you very well.
Ooh. Can you hear me, Utrecht?
Yes. Duke, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Very slightly. You need to be a little bit louder.
Hear me now?
I can hear you. I could manage. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I can barely hear you as well. Oh, boy. How are you, Utrecht?
I'm hanging in. I want to know if everybody are our engineers understanding that we having difficulty hearing each other?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Okay. Well, they're sending me a message now, so let's see what the message is.
Okay. Well, let me see. I had called last week.
Yes.
And I think I said to you something about I'm going to talk as fast as I can to make as many points as I can. Well, I'm not feeling I'm not moving that fast today. So.
Oh, well, you'll feel better as it goes.
Well, now that I'm speaking to the family, yeah, and speaking to you, I'm feeling a little bit better.
All right, let me just see if we can get this resolved. We're not hearing each other very well. This is to studio. We're not hearing each other very well. The volume is very low. And so I'm wondering whether...
Oh, there it goes.
Okay.
That's better.
That's more gooder.
That's more gooder.
That's what my nephew used to say when he was a kid. That's more gooder.
That's more gooder.
Yeah.
Okay, where was I going? You know, it's funny, last week when I had called on Friday, Free Your Mind Friday, And it just goes to show how the community that you created, Utrice, is strong. Because I had
use the right word, not you, but we.
We, yes, I'm sorry,
we.
And I had mentioned Leona in Michigan.
Yes.
And when we hung up, she was the next caller. Do you recall that?
Yes.
I just thought that was so bizarre. I mean, I don't know her, so that wasn't arranged like that. I'm in Jersey. She's in Michigan.
That's just how it happens. Very frequently, that's how it happens, because people are listening in, and they want you to know. They're hearing you. So that's good. What's on your mind today that you're freeing it up?
Okay, first I want to say my favorite quote of the week was yesterday when Elder Brother David said, when he made the point about, he said, Utrice, you can't turn a man-eating tiger into a vegan, when he was talking about Biden.
Yes.
And that just had me cracking up. Your show on Tuesday, when you went off about the mask.
Yes.
That was my favorite show of the week. And you made me think about, you ever see the movie The Network?
Yes.
And you know the character Howard Beale, when he's mad as hell and he ain't going to take it no more?
I'm not going to take it anymore.
That's what you were making me think of. That was an interesting program. But you be careful down there, Utrice, because I know Florida is now in the hot spot.
It is the hot spot.
And it's scary because, you know, when you look at the numbers, I was watching a show last night, and the numbers that they were talking about were not just test positive numbers. They were saying that the ICU rooms were starting to fill up. So these are actual people going into the hospital.
Oh, yes. The news now is that most hospitals in Florida are near capacity.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of young people.
That's also the trend that they are noting, that more younger people, more and more younger people are, you know, being diagnosed with coronavirus. We don't know why, but the main thing is that it's happening. And still people are being very casual about it. It is alarming to me that people are walking around as if nothing is happening. Life is just going on. And all over the place, people are contracting this disease and dying from it in the tens of thousands. So we really have to do something about it. Well, thank you for getting...
You know what else, Utrice?
What?
You know what else, though? I don't know who to listen to. Because I listen to Gary on the left, and he's saying one thing. I listen to Fauci on the right, and he said, I mean, I don't know who to believe.
Well, trust your gut and trust the record.
Okay.
Before now, did you hear of Dr. Fauci? No. That doesn't mean he didn't exist before now. But Gary has a long and documented history of calling it as he sees it, and most often he has been on point. So that doesn't mean he's always right. I'm trying to just hedge my bets here. You shouldn't take the position that this person is always right, that person is always wrong.
Right.
You weigh what they say. And some things would make sense to you. And therefore, you say, okay, that makes sense to me, and I will hold to that. But in the meantime, don't get into the idea that you must be in this camp or you're in that camp.
Oh, no, I'm not. I listen. My only thing with Gary is the thing that I don't like is the fact that his voice is not in the public arena. I mean, he's got a big following, a big underground following, but we need what he's saying to be on CNN and Fox.
Well, you can help with that. You can help by telling your friends, telling your neighbors, telling your
I do. If I mention the name Gary Noe, they say, who?
This is what you listen to. And they should consider listening to it without pushing hard on the issue. Thank you, Duke, for getting us started today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eutrice. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Robert from South Carolina. You're on the air.
Greetings, Eutrice.
Thank you. And to you, too.
Yes, I'm just calling about these diabolical statues that's all over the United States. And I hear some of these Caucasians don't want them taken down, but I think they should be put in a museum or they can put it in their front yards. Well, I know the ones in business, they're not going to do that. But they want to keep it up to remind us that they are superior. They think they are, anyway. And I heard one said that nobody is perfect. Dr. King committed adultery. Well.
Okay, and where are you going with this now?
These same statements, I mean, these statements came from the offspring of these same devils that's on these pedestals.
Well, we're in a different age. We shouldn't be using words like devils and things like that. They are people with whom you have a very strong difference of opinion, and that is fine. Because history bears you out. But we should now reconstruct the way we configure what the situation is. You know, you say things like, you know, these devils and so forth.
Well, that's what they are.
Look, you can't say that's what they are.
Look at the history of these people. How could they not be devils?
Yes, but when you say that, you mean each and every single one of them.
Well, the ones who did it, I mean, and there's a whole lot of them, millions of them.
No, but you understand what I'm saying. We are able to see that we should be careful about indicting an entire group of people, every single one of those persons belonging to any particular group, because the rest of the group or the major portion of the group behaves a particular way. We should be elevating our discussion by now and seeing that there are exceptions, even within those communities. There are people who are averse to violence. They do not honor the violent history. But I agree with you, there is that history, and they have been reluctant to correct that history, to admit it and to correct it. But that doesn't mean we behave like the ones that we criticize.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm saying is they're always talking about violence and all this stuff when it comes down to people protesting. And if it wasn't for violence, I don't think we would be here. And definitely the Caucasians wouldn't be here. They would still be in Europe. We would be, North America would be a peaceful place.
Well, that's interesting because Caucasians didn't start out in Europe.
You said they didn't do what?
They didn't start out being in Europe.
Where did they start out from?
Called the Caucasus area, the Caucasus regions. That's how they got the name Caucasian.
Yes.
Okay, so we have a lot to revisit and correct in our nomenclature.
That's true, but now I'm talking about violence. They're always talking about violence, and they're the ones creating violence. They never talk about Dr. King when he said that this country is the most violent in the whole world, and that is true. And
well, go ahead. Sorry.
They are the ones creating violence. I mean, people always talk about the violence that's going on and what caused it. They don't ever discuss that. The policemen, so-called policemen, shooting black people down in cold blood, shoot them in the back, and this creep kneeling on that George Floyd's neck until he died. I mean, this is an animal. And I believe if the camera wasn't on him, George Floyd would have been his lunch. These people are despicable. And, go ahead.
I'm listening to you.
Oh. But the other thing I want to say about Dr. King, if he did commit adultery, he didn't kill anybody, he didn't rape anybody. The only thing he did was trying to make it right for all America. But what happened to him? He was murdered.
But are you advancing this idea at all, or are you stuck back in the 60s, making the same points that have been made since the 1960s until now?
Well, it's all related.
It's all related, but it's repetitive, isn't it? Without advancing new ideas, without advancing us into new discussions, you're still bringing us back to 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's all related. Every bit of it from back then up to now, and I was living all of these years. So I am familiar with all of this stuff that's going on.
What I'm trying to get at is I'm not disputing what you say. I'm saying repeating it, does it advance our understanding? Does it help us deal with what's now? Does it help us to even deal with the past, knowing what we know now?
No, because the same keeps happening. They talk about it, but nothing is happening. I mean, we go out and march, demonstrate all these years, and nothing happens.
But you can't say that nothing is happening. I would challenge you on that.
Well, they are protesting. I'll go along with that.
Well, it's not just protesting, but there are advances that have been made. Slow, I agree, but we can't say that nothing is happening. You're basically indicting all the efforts that people have made, even in the face of utter and complete frustration and people opposing them. But they still persevere. You have changes in labor law, you have changes in housing law, you have changes in education, you have changes in employment. So I can't agree with you. And you should be a little bit careful in making a blanket statement like nothing has happened. That couldn't possibly be true.
Oh, well, I agree with you on that. But I'm talking about in general. I mean, you know, there's little things that happened from back when. But we just have to wait and see. But anyway, I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your thoughts and all of that. And thank you very much.
And I thank you for calling in and contributing today. Thank you so much. Rich from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm calling about an incident that happened up here in New York in Central Park with a lady, Amy Cooper,
yes,
called the police on this gentleman who was filming her in the park with her dog unleashed, and she called the police on him, stating that this gentleman, she's afraid that this gentleman was going to actually attack her. Now,
okay,
the case came up this week. It said that the guy that filmed her, his name was Cooper also, he said he thinks she had suffered enough that no charges should be brought against her. Well, I'm thinking that this gentleman really doesn't know his history, because a charge like this in the past would have strung him up in one of them trees in Central Park. You know, Tulsa, the Tulsa riot out in Oklahoma, the whole city was bombed, and hundreds of black people were killed just because of an allegation from this Caucasian lady. Emmett Till, a young, 12-year-old boy, he was killed because of an allegation by this lady. Even you can even say the gentleman that was shot down in Louisville in the back by these two men, simply by an allegation. So for him to say that she had suffered enough makes me believe that he wasn't really in tune with his history and what has happened in the past with Caucasian women making allegations about black men and the consequences of it.
Is it possible that you are wrong?
I beg your pardon?
Is it possible that you are wrong?
How am I wrong?
I'm asking, do you think it's possible that you're wrong in your analysis of it?
I don't think so. When you look at history, when you look at our past history,
but what I'm trying to show you is you're taking a situation that occurred in 2020 in Central Park, New York.
Yes.
And you're making it analogous to what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, what happened in different parts of the country, where black people, on the basis of a mere accusation, were lynched.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, here's a thing that you purposely danced around and ignored. He decided that it is up to the prosecutor. It is not up to him to act as the agent of prosecution. He's a mere citizen. He was injured by this woman, and it is the role of the prosecutor's office to do something about it. They have it on film. They have it on video. They have the whole thing on video. They have a call. They have everything they need to proceed with the prosecution. But what they're doing is trying to put the responsibility on him. The whole burden of the prosecution is supposed to fall on him when he is a victim here. Did you miss that?
She is the victim? How is she being the victim?
He is the victim. No, I'm said he is the victim here.
Right.
He is. But the prosecutor's office, apparently and clearly, is making it so that he bears the burden of a prosecution if there's going to be one, and that's not right.
Well, your point
And that is why I suspect he refuses to do it. But there was no...
I think they brought charges against him. The prosecutor said they were going to charge her.
Yeah, but they didn't charge her yet. And in any event, the charge, in order to sustain the charge, and for which they have everything they need, the prosecutors have everything they need. They have copies of the tapes that were made when she called, when he called to report that, you know, he's in this part of Central Park watching birds. He was a bird watcher. That's all he did, was watch the birds. And in that part, he advised this woman, who was clearly out of her mind, that it is required that all dogs be on leash. That's all he said. He didn't strike her. He didn't cuss her out. He didn't exhibit any form of violence toward her. In fact, he did exactly the opposite. What is happening, and you have to appreciate this, is that, and he hasn't said so, but you can read between the lines and you can see what is going on there. I strongly suspect that even though this woman was charged, making a false claim and all of the attendant charges, the prosecutor's office took the position that he, although he is the victim, he is supposed to be the one to bear the burden of proving this case. And that is wrong.
It's my thought that, yes, he filmed it, but if there's a court case, they would have to call him in, and he would have to say, yes, I recorded this. Yes, this
no,
is what happened.
No, no, no.
Which it did
no.
happen.
Yes, but that's the evidence speaks for itself. He does not have to play the game or play the role of witness. He's a victim. Do you understand that? The role of the prosecutor's office is to protect his rights, not to compel him to stand in and play the role that the prosecutor's office ought to be playing here, which is prosecute a case. You have everything you need. You don't. If this man had died, I'm not wishing it, if he had died in the period between when this happened and now, you telling me that this case cannot be prosecuted?
I'm saying that the evidence that they have now,
yes,
if he was called into court, he would have to say, yes, this is my phone. Yes, this is what happened. I see nothing wrong with that. I don't see how that is really, you know, reflecting on him as an individual.
But that pressure and that role should not fall on him. It should not be his. It should not be his job. That's what the prosecutor's office is for, to authenticate the evidence. You don't need any witnesses. Not after you look at the videotape. You can't deny that this was the man. Why must he now be brought in to aid the prosecution? Wrong. And that is a point that needs to be made across the board. In many cases, they abuse the rights of victims of crime by making them take on roles that the prosecutor's office and the police, they are the ones who should be establishing who is who did what. There's no reason for him to be in court. Even if he had died, there's no reason this case shouldn't go ahead and be prosecuted. But they did that in order to, again, show that they're making an extra effort for this white woman who's clearly in the wrong on many levels. They have everything they need. They have her admission of guilt. They have her admission that she was so sorry. They have everything they need to prosecute this case. So by pressuring him, and this is what the young man isn't saying, but they were leaning on him to now participate as part of the prosecution of the case. No, he is a citizen. He was wronged. A crime was committed against him. The documents that and evidence tracing everything, every step of the way. This case is you could self-try this case. He doesn't need to be involved in here. He needs to be left alone to live his life. And let
I don't see where his life is being interrupted.
His life has been interrupted because everybody knows now where he works. He's gotten threatening calls or annoying calls. His privacy has been invaded. And he is
All of this was happening when all of this went down on public media. They knew where she worked, where he worked, and who posted the video up there. So for him to say that she suffered enough, leave her alone.
That's what he said.
To me, it's saying that he's not really in tune with the history of these women.
No, you can't say that. It's wrong to say that. That's a false claim. How do you know he's not in tune with his history? It is just that this is the approach he's taken. You're surmising and you're making it fact. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't make your supposition fact. Understand what the issue here really is. The issue here is so clear. This man was wronged. And there's ample evidence proving that he was wronged by this crazy woman. They have ample evidence. They have ample documentation to prove their case, whatever they make.
Yeah.
But it is not up to him as a private citizen to participate in the prosecution of his own case. He is a victim. And that's what we pay the prosecutor's office to do. You prosecute the cases in behalf of the victim. The victim has already suffered. They should
so you think that he was right by saying, no, I'm not going to cooperate with you?
I don't know whether to say he was right or wrong. I'm saying this is what he said. And we have to
leave her alone. She suffered enough.
Yes, well, he said that for many reasons, which we do not know because he hasn't delineated it. But I could guess why he said that. He doesn't want to be bothered with this.
Oh, please.
You have to really understand. Jumping to conclusions, you say, or you know, he doesn't understand Edmund Till. All of these are suppositions, and on these suppositions, you have formed a rock hard opinion about the man, and you're wrong to do that.
Yeah.
This is a case in which, as I said, there is enough evidence. He, like any other citizen, and particularly a white female citizen, if the shoes were on the other feet, they would not require the woman to participate in this case. They wouldn't do it because they would readily recognize that is the job of the police, the investigators and the prosecutors. That's what you get paid for. That's what he pays for. And he hasn't said it out loud, but you could read what it is he's saying in between the lines. What he's saying is, I'll be damned if you, after being a victim of this woman, now you're going to try to get me in court as a black man in these times to use that finger of blame in court. You know that's a setup so that he could never work anywhere again. He can't live where he's living again.
Oh, okay.
Keep that in
mind. Go along with the system then.
No.
Regardless of any type of other consequence in the past.
No, but you're wrong. I'm trying to tell you this.
Stating that these false reports are criminal activities now, you know?
And so, they should be, you know, if there are false reports, but in this case, these reports were documented. Everything that constitutes a report by this woman in this case, everything is documented. So these are not false reports. They are trying very much to manipulate this man, and he is being very, very noble about it. But they clearly are trying to manipulate him so that he participates in this case, which will have serious consequences, as trivial as the case is. And he is saying, no, I'm not part of that. I am the victim here. The woman who victimized me, who lied to the police, she is getting far more attention and far more consideration than he is. And he's absolutely correct to say,
I don't think so.
I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of it. You figure it out. I'm just going to watch my birds on the weekend.
Okay.
And y'all can figure the rest of it out.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. You sound a little distant today.
Yes, and I can hardly hear you also, Utrice. You sound far, far away.
You sound far away. Now I can hear you.
Okay. I called in for two other issues, but, you know, listening to this conversation that just ended, I want to share some memories with the gentleman. The Manhattan District Attorney in this case is Cyrus Vance. So let's just look at Cyrus Vance's history. You may remember James Blake, the tennis player who was accosted in Grand Central Station, must have been about 4 or 5 years ago, by undercover plainclothes policemen who thought he looked like somebody who had committed a crime. Well, James Blake, a lot of pressure was brought to bear on James Blake to say that the police officers made a mistake and they should not be punished. That's number one. You may remember that years ago, there was a hotel, an African woman who worked in a hotel and accused Dominic Strauss-Kahn, who was the IMF chief at that time. And a lot of pressure was brought to bear on him to let Dominic Strauss-Kahn go. And he did. As a matter of fact, he made the victim the issue and not the perp. Mm-hmm. Then you may remember, about maybe 18 months ago, there was an incident at a Brooklyn bodega with a woman who accused a 10-year-old boy of improperly touching her. And it turned out that it was his backpack who had brushed against her. She called the police and everything. And rather than tend to the boy who was left sobbing uncontrollably, who for all we know is going to be scarred for life because of this incident, police were called and he thought he was going to be handcuffed. No, they made her the issue and not the boy. So, you know, there is a long history of Cyrus Vance doing this. Rather than focusing on the perp, rather than focusing on the victim, he focuses on the perp. And so people have to, number one, their memory has to be long so that you can document that this is not just an isolated incident, that there is a pattern.
There certainly is a pattern. And this one was quite blatant. I was waiting to see what other developments there will be. But so far, I agree with him completely. Yeah, I'm not part of this. I am a victim here. And you're not going to get me to act as some kind of prosecutor's witness. Not at all.
And I knew there was something wrong because what happened was, at least it was reported this week, that she got a desk appearance ticket for October. This happened in June. She got a desk appearance ticket, you hear me? For October. Well, why do you need to give her a desk appearance ticket? First of all, it shouldn't be a desk appearance ticket because what she did was a felony or a misdemeanor, but it was illegal.
No, it was a felony. When you accuse somebody and your words are, when you call in as the so-called victim, you said that a black man is threatening my life and my dog. That's what she said. A black man. So that's a hate crime.
But here again, okay, so she committed a felony. You give someone who commits a felony a desk appearance ticket for 3 months down the line? That's what you do? A felony.
On a hate crime. Let's be clear.
A hate crime. I just had to comment on that, but that's not really why I called today. I called today to talk about this, the book that Donald Trump's niece wrote. You may remember some time ago, I said that Donald Trump was a malignant narcissist who could not be fixed. And if you will remember, I said that something happened to Donald very early in his childhood, preteen. Well, now we know. I didn't know what happened, but now we know. He had, you know, there was a very domineering, I don't know that he was abusive. I can only go by what she claims was abuse, not physical, but certainly emotional abuse. Donald Trump is beyond, you may remember I said, he is beyond repair. So whenever we listen to him, you're listening to a madman. You're listening to someone who is damaged beyond repair.
Repair.
He is irreparable. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was Joe Biden must have been listening to us on Wednesday when we said he had no message. Because what did he do on Thursday?
On Thursday. I talked about it. He must have been listening to us on Wednesday.
He must have been listening to us on Wednesday.
And I still think there's a lot of legitimacy to what we say when we say, doesn't look like he has an agenda, but we'll see what he calls an agenda. You'll see what he calls an agenda.
But, you know, even listening to what he talked about, there were so many things that he could talk about. He could talk about the economy in terms of jobs. He could talk about the economy in terms of taxes and how taxes did not work with. He could talk about this PPP and how it went to Kanye West and Elaine Chao's husband's family. You know, there's so many things that he could talk about. He doesn't talk about the things that matter to everyday working people. That's what they connect with.
This is why I asked, in a hypothetical sense, Biden says that he's going to be letting his agenda be known. Okay. Theoretically, just among us, what would you expect this radical agenda to have as priorities on it? And nothing on the list that people suggested will appear as priority items. I can guarantee you that.
And I would agree with you. He cannot risk offending all of those people who have donated to him who represent issues that are not in the best interest of working class people.
Not at all. Well, thank you so much for calling in today, Patricia.
Have a wonderful
week. Good to hear from you. You too. Chris from New York, you're on the air. We lost David. Okay. I must explain, by the way, that we are doing an interim thing here because the studio is being repaired. And so we have to do a little bit of this and then do a little bit of that, hook this up to that. I don't know how to do all of those things, but it is happening today, and hopefully by Monday we're back to normal. But it just means that we do what we have to do to get the program done. And it's a little testy, but we get the job done. So I'm glad that you were able, and I'm especially glad when Rick called. Glenn from New Jersey.
I've been
Hello.
A long time listener to the program.
And thank you.
One of the things that really stands out with me is that in all the discussions, there's so much energy given to playing the role of a victim, and not enough to our community being what we are, which we contributed much to the American culture. We've provided a lot of things from beer to coffee, even to help build this society. But yet, too much energy, in my opinion, has been given to playing the role of a victim and looking inward to improve our situation. And the second issue that sticks in my craw is Biden and Trump. Why we have so much history on these two individuals. Trump, he's been in the media for years before he even thought of running for president. Biden, who's done so much contrary to our community, but yet we supported him. We gave him a lifeline to be the next president. I mean, there's a long list of what Biden has done to our community, but yet specifically the people of South Carolina gave them a lifeline to the presidency.
So you're saying this as if this is unusual or that it is wrong.
Well, it's not unusual because it's been happening for decades and decades.
Okay. So tackle the other part. You're suggesting or intimating that it is wrong.
Yes, it is wrong.
Why?
Because it's to our detriment. It's destroying our community. It's destroying us as a people. But yet,
let me say this. We are all at a stage where we analyze things, correct? You sound like a person who analyzes things quite a bit.
Yes.
You can't afford to be in the place psychologically where you're finding things about what is wrong. You have to put yourself in another place if you're going to be helpful to the community itself, and that is one of education. You can't, when you come to the topic that, you know, he's completely undeserving of black support, I get that point. I don't necessarily agree, but you also have to say, if you disagree and you say he is completely undeserving of black support, then you now have to explain your animosity toward blacks who make that decision.
Well, I can lift up a few things. Support of all the crime laws that put us in the position that we're in. I mean, put us in jail.
Yeah, but then you know what? You'd be dead. And you would have solved nothing. You have to reconstruct your thinking so that it helps us understand things rather than you point out the mistakes that people have made and continue to make. Nobody wants to be on the other end of that finger pointing at them. Could you see that? Could you understand that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And you have, I could sense that you have so much to contribute. So as you analyze things and you write on point, it is not about whether people agree or disagree with you. It's about whether you can see a way out of the relationships, the bad relationships we've had for hundreds of years. What we would need to change, what new attitudes we need to adopt. How do we reconstruct ourselves? That seems to me to be a better use of your energy, because you can't unfix what already has been done.
Yes, and that's why I did say that we should get more inward to realize what we have offered and what we have to offer, and give that more energy than the role of fight and playing the role of a victim.
And that was at the root of my earlier discussion about this young man who was accused of threatening this woman's life. And we could clearly see that that was not at all the case. And his subsequent decision that he was not, and it was a brilliant thing. I don't think people caught on to it yet. It was a brilliant move on his part to say, I am not participating even in the prosecution of somebody who has harmed me. I can live with this.
Yes, I agree.
But I will not be used. You will not use me. That was a brilliant move.
Yes.
So you have brought us to the end of our program today, Glenn, and I so thank you for calling in and contributing. Please call again whenever we have our Free Your Mind Friday, definitely, but on other programs as well. Thank you so much for being with us today.